The Lord has always had holy things. I'm sure all of us remember and know about the Ark of the Covenant. This was something special. This was something holy to God. And you couldn't touch it irreverently. And when it was mishandled, there were problems, right? Death. That's a problem. The person died. And so if the tithe is a holy thing, if the tithe is mishandled, there are problems. So keep that in mind now. The tithe is a holy thing, and we need to handle it properly. And when you mishandle the tithe, let me put it this way, you are on your own in your finances. And I don't know about you, but I've messed up a lot of things in my life. I don't want to mess up any more things. And when I do it on my own and I don't bring God into it, it gets messed up sooner or later. Do I have any amens out there? Any witnesses with that? And so it's holy. It's separate to God. And you want to have God involved in your finances. The tithe belongs to God and has been set apart and designated for His use. Because the tithe belongs to God, you aren't really giving anything when you tithe. You are returning to Him what belongs to Him. It's His. You're giving it. You're not giving it to Him. You're returning it to Him. So you can't look at it like, you know, when you're going to look at a car, and let's say the car is selling for $3,000, and you're going to go offer the guy $2,000. That's not what you're doing when you're tithing. You're doing exactly what He said to do, and He said a tenth. And so if you offer Him 5%, He's not going to take it. Right? And so what would be sad is if you went ahead and did that and offered 5%, offered God 5%, it doesn't mean anything. He doesn't receive it. Because He said to bring the tenth. He said to bring 10%. So there's a difference between an offering. And offerings don't start until after the tithe. You cannot sow a seed until you have given to God what belongs to Him. Tithing comes first. And again, anytime I talk about tithing, I always think about heart issues. Your walk with God is in direct relationship to your tithing, to me. That's just how I see it. But to me, it's just not a law thing or a rule to keep. It has everything to do with my relationship with God and my heart. Because what I'm saying, when I tithe, I'm giving my first, I'm giving my best. This money represents me, it represents what I do, my work, all that I am. And I'm giving God the first fruit, I'm giving Him the best. I'm giving to God first. I mean, who's first place in your life? God or Visa? God or Georgia Power? God or AOL? Who's first, you know? To me, God. I mean, that's how I look at it. So it's a heart thing. It has to do with your heart. So the tithe is holy. Let's look over in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, let's look in verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Isn't that good? So many people you meet, they're on one thing, the next day they're on something else. But God is the Lord, and He does not change. I like that. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me. See, we're talking about the heart. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you have said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. They had gone away from His ordinances, and His ordinances were tithes and offerings and giving offerings. God says by tithing and giving offerings, we're returning to Him. Returning to His ways, to His ways of doing things. That's righteousness, His way of doing things. And so when men and women, we don't tithe and give offerings, we're robbing God. And He's not implying that it's possible to rob God. He is saying that they are doing it. He is asking the question as though they had not even considered that it is even possible to rob God. They didn't know it. They didn't realize it. And many people today do not realize it. But whether you realize it or not, there's consequences for your actions. You know, we're trying to teach our kids at home that when they do something, there's a consequence for that action. And if they do something wrong, there's a consequence. And so we're trying to let them know so they know. But in this particular case, whether you know about it or you don't, there's still a consequence for you. And they didn't know they were doing that, but by not bringing tithes and offerings, they were robbing from God. And they were far from God. They were away from God. So he says it's robbery. Robbery refers to not only stealing, but it includes doing bodily harm to someone. So when God's people do not tithe, it hurts the body of Christ on the earth. You are blocking or hurting the nature or life of the body, the influence of the body, the influence of this church. If we only have half of the congregation tithing, there's only so much that this church can do with those resources. That means our influence in this city, in this area, our ability to pastor people, our ability to reach the areas that God wants us to reach, our ability to reach kids, all these different things are affected by people not tithing. So it's just not the individual that's going to be hurt, and they're going to be hurt. But you're also really robbing from the community, from the family, from this body. And this is really the image that many people have in the body of Christ today. They see the body of Christ as weak, as poor, having no influence. And so when they're doing something in the area, they do not consult the church. It's really the last group that they'll consult because they have no influence. And so this really makes God look bad. God can't fund the preaching of the gospel in we'll just say Augusta. God's got to get a second job to pay for things. But I'm telling you, you know, many of us here, you know, we've heard some of these things and we're living our lives. But I'm telling you, the mindset in the body of Christ, poverty and Christianity go hand in hand. They go together. And that's the concept and that's the view. Well, that's got to change. And I know it's got to change because I know the Word of God, and it's going to have to change before Jesus comes. Because the latter house is going to be greater than the former. And we're in that latter house. So things have got to happen in the next few days. But this is vital. I mean, we can't get anywhere. If we're here tonight struggling with any of these issues, and I believe many of us aren't anymore. I mean, what I believe will happen tonight, I believe other revelation and light will come. You know, when you're preaching the word, it forms a belief. It strengthens a belief. It'll strengthen your belief in tithing. But also faith will come. And I'll talk about that in a moment, but it's vital when you're tithing to be acting in faith. And that's why you need to constantly be hearing about these things. You need to constantly be hearing about healing. Constant. Because, and having heard one time doesn't make you, you know, that you've arrived. That every time that you tithe, you want faith to be there. Because if faith is, you know, it's impossible to please Him without faith. And so when you're tithing, do you want to please God? Tithing has to be done in faith. If you don't give, you rob God. If you rob God, you are cursed with a curse. And so if you come to your pastor and ask me to pray with you concerning your finances, one of the first questions I'll ask you is, are you tithing? Because that has everything to do with my prayers. Because I cannot go, if you are wanting God to help you in your finances, I cannot pray for you unless you are a tither. Because my prayer will not do any good. Because I'm going against the Word of God. I'm going against the Scriptures. Now, He'll bail you out. He'll help you. God's merciful. But you're going to need to repent. And that's what I'll help you do right on the spot there. Help you repent about tithing. And then part of what I'm going to do, and I may even be the one to help you. But I tell you, when I help someone, I want to make sure I'm sowing in good soil. And so many times when I'm helping someone, I want them to begin to hear about tithing. Because if not, they're going to be coming back next week. And if they don't make a change and start tithing, they'll never get out of the situation. So I'll bless them. That's my nature to give and help. But also it's my nature to teach. Because I realize in the long run, that's going to be the better way to go. But is God cursing them? God's not cursing them. You know, because we know what the Bible says. We've been redeemed from the curse. But even as a believer, you've been redeemed from the curse. It's still my choice to step back into slavery. I can do that at any time in different areas. Now, thank God my spirit is born again. But, you know, in any different area, if I choose to, I can step back into slavery. It's the same thing here. God's not doing it. But what you're doing is you're stepping in that area out of God's kingdom into the, in Satan's turf. And that's a kingdom of curse. Kingdom of curses. So the word cursed, this is a good definition here. Cursed means lumped together with the world. Now, does anybody here want to be lumped together with the world? Because if you are, you are going down. You are going down for the count. There is nothing improving in the world. The world system. It is not getting any better. It's getting worse. And it's every recession, every depression, every bad thing that comes along, you're just going to go be affected by it. And we don't need to operate in that system. God's system is unlimited increase. Getting better and better and better and better. Despite anything that's happening in the world system, that's God's plan. All right? So God tells us how to get out from under the curse and into the blessing. Anybody want to know that? Verse 10. Bring, carry it with you, all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be spiritual food there. The word storehouse, if you look that up, it means treasury. A treasury is a place where money comes in and money goes out. The Lord's treasury. The food, again, is God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so it's God's plan, by you bringing your tithe into the storehouse, that people will be fed spiritually. And here in the church, that people will be pastored, people will be well fed, and people will be taken care of. Again, this is God's plan. This is God's way. If you are not fed well or eat regularly, what happens? You're going to grow weak and unproductive. And that's not God's plan. So God will open the windows. The scriptures say, or you look that up, it says floodgates. I like that. He will open the windows of heaven and empty out on you his blessing of divine enablement. And a supernatural anointing to increase. But listen to this now. Any time the tithe is given, the tither is empowered. The word bless means to empower to prosper or to empower to excel. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but that's what happened when Abraham brought his tithe to Melchizedek. What happened? He was blessed. And I know, and I understand why we say this, because there's different levels of meaning to the word blessings or bless. And many of us, when we just say it, if I just say blessings, you're thinking of cars and houses and clothes and stuff. And that's okay. But those things, and those aren't the only things, that are a result of being blessed. And so the blessing is words. Again, we talked about words today being containers. But it's an anointing. It's a power. It's ability. Deuteronomy 8. We've been given the ability to get wealth. The anointing to get wealth. And so by you tithing, an anointing comes on you to prosper. Did you know that? And that's why we ought to get a little more excited during tithe and offering time. Because I realize that, and that's why we take time to speak things and say things. This is why we do that, because we have an understanding. Everybody here, all the guests may not have an understanding, but we do. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is when the pastor or Susie or a guest minister or whatever is speaking words over that tithe and offering, you receive it. You draw on that. And then expect it when you walk out of here that you are anointed. Especially in the financial area. Everybody say, I'm anointed. I'm a tither, and I'm anointed. If you know anything about the Word of God, being anointed is a good thing. Being anointed changes things from bad to good. Being anointed stops storms, heals people, multiplies things, increases things. The anointing is a good thing. Hallelujah. So the blessing or the empowerment or the anointing from the Lord will make you rich. This is Proverbs 10. Will make you rich and adds no sorrow to you. No ulcers. No divorces. No losing your kids. No drug problems. It makes you rich. Now again, even here tonight, I say the word rich, we all have different concepts of rich. Some people, being rich is $1 million. Being a millionaire, that's rich. But I tell you, as I've been pastoring, $1 million is not that much money. But I take it, but it's not as big as it used to be. Rich has a little different connotation to me now. But I tell you, sitting here tonight, we are all rich compared to some third world nations. The way you live, if they would come into your house and see how you live, look in your trash can. The things you throw away would make somebody in some other country rich. So it's all in your concept. But I think what the Lord has been saying to me, our idea of rich needs to get bigger. I need to start thinking bigger here. I was talking with Susie last night, and we were just talking about, you know, why does the world have all the latest and the greatest technology? I was watching this one of these programs about how they make films, and they were, I think it was a James Bond movie, and it just showed some of the sets that they had built, and how they do a lot of their stunts. They'll build a miniature of that area, and they're spending millions of dollars on this little set for a two-minute scene. And all the technology and things that go in into filmmaking. But, you know, the world has that. Is there going to ever be a change one day where the church is actually leading in technology and that, you know, they're coming to the Good News Church, the world is now, to see how we do things? The world did that with Solomon. They had heard all these things. And when she came, she fainted. She had no more spirit in her. Because it was even greater than what she had heard. Well, I believe we're on the track. Getting back to that. So rich. God wants us to be rich. God sends windows of opportunity your way to increase you. Windows of heaven. Windows of opportunity. Sending a person to the moon is not an easy task. You've got a moving launch pad and a moving target. And so that rocket needs to be sent at a particular time, a certain window, a certain time frame. Well, God has windows of opportunity for us in our lives, and we need to, especially those that are tithers, we need to recognize and expect opportunities to come our way. Let me just read a couple of these opportunities. I've read this before, but you remember the story about the $1 million lawnmower? A man was traveling to a small town in Arkansas on business. He heard about the lawnmower worth over $1 million. And he found out where this guy lives. And he comes up to the door and he says, I hear you have a $1 million lawnmower. And he says, yep, it's out in the back. And the visitor says, can I see it? I mean, I've got to see. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. A $1 million lawnmower. And so the man takes him out back and he says, there she is. Over there under the tree. The guy's walking over there, and it's just this thing under this tarp, and he pulls the tarp, and it's this old John Deere riding mower. And the guy goes like, what's the big deal? You know, why is this a million-dollar lawnmower? Well, it's a million-dollar lawnmower because I used to work for Walmart, and I was given the opportunity to get $600 worth of Walmart stock. And instead, I cashed it in, and I bought this lawnmower. But had I kept that stock, it would have been worth $1 million today. So there it is, the million-dollar lawnmower. I would say he missed his window of opportunity. How about you? Did you think so? Zig Ziglar struggled for 16 years to make it as a motivational speaker. He got saved when he was 45, and he soon began to tithe. Suddenly, he was hit with a $600 per week engagement. General Mills had offered him a series of seminars, and they wanted to pay him in advance. He never had to solicit another speaking engagement again. In fact, now he turns down more than he accepts. And he himself, he attributes it to the day he got saved, and he began to tithe. That was the change for him. The Kerr family of the Kerr mason jars, tithers. Crowell family started Quaker Oats. The Proctor family that started Procter & Gamble. The Colgate family, tithers. And our friends Abner and Esther Yoder that have Stark Trust Company in Ohio, tithers. Now, money did not drop out of heaven for them. They all took the advantage of opportunities. So the windows are open and the opportunities are there, but we're going to need to be discerning in the next few days. That's why being led by the Spirit, prayer in the Spirit, all these different things we talk about are very vital to be able to discern if it's a God idea or a good idea. But I'm believing for God, a lot of God ideas in this church, because I got a big vision. We got a big vision. We got a multi-million dollar vision. And where are those millions of dollars going to come from? The lottery? I believe it's going to come from you, people that sees God-given opportunities and God prospers you. Amen? Hallelujah. One day I can see it. Someone will bring us $1 million check, and it'll be a tithe check. Who's the one? Any candidates here? I'm going to fight you. I'm going to try to get there first, but if you beat me, that's okay. The tithe is what activates the financial side of your covenant with God. Tithing is the first thing we must do. Under the new covenant, we have a responsibility for rebuking the devourer. You know, here in Malachi, it says that God will rebuke the devourer. But again, God, under the new covenant, we've been given authority. You've heard about the authority of the believer. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, we need to take that authority, especially when we know we've got something to stand on here. We've got the promises of Malachi. We know that we're tithers. And so when anything doesn't match up with that, we need to take authority over the devil and get him out of the way. I'm looking forward to the day when people will resist poverty and lack just as much as they do sickness and disease. When's the last time that you got the big bill at home? That you know, the unexpected bill, and you went and got into your bedroom and got the tapes out and started listening to them. You know, we do that. If we're not feeling good, we'll go in the bedroom and put the tape on or the video, because we feel a little pain, and we're going to deal with that, and we're going to start listening to the Word, or we'll get the tapes out. But when's the last time in your finances you had that same tenacity? Have you ever done that? Why is that? Because we put up with lack more readily than we do with sickness and disease. But I tell you, poverty and lack is just as detrimental. And God has laid it out so clearly that these things shouldn't be. But see, we've got to enforce that covenant. And the devil has no right to eat your seed. He has no right to touch your stuff. He has no legal ground. But he's going to push it. And he's going to test you. He's going to tempt you. But they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And you put him in his place. As you honor, turn over to Proverbs 3. You ought to have Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. You ought to have them underlined. circled, starred, highlighted stickers by there, little arrows. Y'all got that on yours? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns are your investment accounts, your bank accounts, your storage facilities, and your vats is your business and vocation. So let's read that. So your investment accounts and your bank accounts will be filled with plenty, and your businesses and your vocation will overflow with new wine. And again, you could look at it this way, then, that wine is a type of the anointing, type of the Holy Spirit, an overflow of the anointing. As you honor, this is what you're doing in tithing now. The whole message on honoring God and tithing, they go hand in hand. As you honor, you make God big. You put value on God in His Word. You magnify God. As you honor the Lord with your wealth and with the tithe, your accounts will be filled with plenty and your businesses will overflow. Tithing is being faithful with what belongs to God. Isn't that awesome? We have something that actually belongs to God, and we get to handle it. Think about that. That's an awesome thing. Something that's God's, and we get to handle it. So offerings are being faithful with what belongs to you. And again, one of the definitions of being faithful is being strict and thorough in the performance of a duty. So if you are a faithful tither, there's no more, well, I forgot my checkbook. No more, well, you know, even a temptation to do anything different. You are faithful. You are strict and thorough in the performance of a duty. You are a faithful tither. You are a good steward. There's just no question. There's no temptation to do anything else with those finances. You're not trying to get by any loopholes, trying to fool God. No, you just do it. That's just the way you're faithful. It's like breathing or eating. That's just eating, sleeping, and tithing. If you are faithful with what God has entrusted you, He will be faithful with what you entrust to Him. And again, I know that it says in Malachi, put Him to the test. But I believe the tithe is an important test for us. It's part of the faithfulness test. And you must pass this in order to go on to various levels in God, in the things of God. So if you pass the tithe test, you will be qualified to handle more resources for God. So who's passed the tithe test here? And again, being a tither, you know, that's, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, century in, century out. When you tithe and give offerings, you cut off your dependence on this world's economic system for your financial well-being. And God becomes your source. Again, it's about relationship. You're saying that God is your source of supply. That God can make this 90% go much further than this 100%. If most people, you know, again, we were going through the giving records the other day and I was signing all the contribution letters. If most people saw how much you gave to the Good News Church last year, they would freak out. I'm saying it was good. I mean, I'm saying you were generous. But a lot of these churches, I mean, you know, I'm from a Catholic background. I watched those plates, you know, they were heavy, heavy, heavy plates. A lot of pennies and quarters and crumpled up dollar bills. If they were to see our giving list, many of the Catholic people, they would freak out. What's going on over there? Got some, you know, they want to be learning what's the con game you got going over there? What's the scheme? But you, if you went over there and saw their giving record, you'd freak out. Are these people crazy? That's why they can't do anything. I can't put a new roof on the church and given 0.00001% last year. And that was the big deal. They're number one on the list. They feel like they can't afford to tithe. We feel like we can't afford not to. Is that how you feel? Tithing is a New Testament practice. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. He was to be a steward. He was to be a manager. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." The tithe was instituted in the garden, so it goes back to the beginning. And when Adam was given something that belonged to God to manage, but wasn't allowed to use it on himself. And again, the tithe was a test of man's faithfulness in his relationship with God. When Adam disobeyed, he and God were separated. You see that? When Adam disobeyed, separation came. Separation from the glory. Separation from the presence of God. Separation from the anointing. Separation from the prosperity of God. Separation from God's nature. There was something designated, dedicated. That tree was holy unto the Lord. And so really, you could say that really man's first sin, man fell. The thing that has affected us all these years happened over a tithing issue. It's pretty powerful. Goes back to the beginning. Well, you say, that's pretty mean of God to do that. But tithing is about God and His Word. You cannot separate God and His Word. He must keep His Word. And the tree was the only thing standing between the agreement being intact and the agreement being broken. That tree. Now let's look over in Luke 16. I want to read this verse. You know this verse, but I want to read it. In verse 10, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and just also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, it belongs to another, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches." Now, to me, and you may have, again, a different definition of true riches, but to me, true riches is signs, wonders, miracles, more anointing on my life, the blessings of God on my family, great marriage, kids growing up in the things of God. True riches to me doesn't have anything to do with my bank account. But see, if I don't pass this test, how will be I entrusted with some of the bigger things down the road? And see, many people are wanting those things, those big things, and the ministry, and all the great things. But it starts in the little things. And God is very smart in this, because He realizes if you don't pass some of these little tests, there's no way you'll be able to handle that down the road. It'll ruin you. It'll bring you down. And God doesn't want that to happen. So you got to pass this test. Genesis 14. I mean, so much of this is coming back to being a manager. Being a good manager. This is all part of being a good manager. Genesis 14, verse 18. "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed him," blessed Abraham, "and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all." Now this was 400 years before the law. Talk about tithing being a New Testament practice. Melchizedek was an anti-type of Jesus in his role as a high priest. He was not a Levitical priest that would later receive Israel's tithes. And this signifies that ultimately Jesus would receive our tithes. The scriptures say that Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. One thing I know about the order of Melchizedek is Melchizedek received tithes. That's one thing I know. I don't know a whole lot about some of the things he did. The scriptures aren't clear. But here it shows Melchizedek received tithes, and he was the high priest. And Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek as found in Hebrews. And so we're to do the same thing. Only we're not to bring it to a man that's sinful. We bring it to Jesus, who is our high priest, who is perfect. And so just imagine, you know, the blessing. I mean, Melchizedek's blessing was good, and Abraham prospered, and he was empowered to prosper. But I tell you, there's a much greater one than Melchizedek. His name is Jesus. And every time we bring that tithe, the blessing from Jesus himself comes on us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Abram offered his tithe in honor to God for giving him victory in the battle. Let me just say this. Tithing and victory go hand in hand. Not tithing and failure go hand in hand. So you decide which one you want. Abram was our father in the faith, and he offered tithes of all. Abraham was made righteous, and so are we. Abraham was justified by faith, and so are we. Abraham was circumcised in the flesh, and we're circumcised in our hearts. Abraham tithed and made offerings, and so do we. A man like you and me blessed Abraham and received tithes, and Abraham was a very blessed man. How much more for us? Certainly what Abraham had. I'm not going to read the scriptures in Hebrews 7. You could read those. But Hebrews compares tithing under the law to tithing now under the new covenant. The sons of Levi, the Levitical priesthood, received tithes according to the law. But our tithes, like Abraham's, are received by our high priest, Jesus. Here, mortal men receive tithes. But there, he received. Jesus, our high priest in heaven, receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Speaking of Jesus. The high priest receives the tithe and speaks a blessing. And again, remember that now. Any time that you bring your tithe, you are empowered. You are blessed and empowered to prosper. So there are several deals or several things that happen under the new covenant concerning tithing. Well, the first of all, who we're bringing our tithe to? To the perfect one, to Jesus. And again, so his blessing, he's not a sinful man. His blessing means a little bit more different than someone else's, a different high priest. But also, under this new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the anointing in us to help us prosper. Abraham didn't have that. So this is a better covenant based on better promises. The Spirit of God lives in us 24 hours a day, all the time. So, it really shouldn't be that difficult for us to prosper. Hallelujah. But again, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, again, going back to relationship. You know, and I'm not just saying, well, I'm just going to tithe and then sit back and just wait for the money to roll in or for things to change. No, it's, again, relationship. A true tither is a worshiper of God, someone close to God, seeking after God, spends time with God, listens to God. And it's in that time of listening, many times you're going to hear God will give you, the Spirit of God will give you direction. He'll show you things. Jesus said that we should tithe, but tithing doesn't give us the right to neglect the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. Turn over there. I think we should read it. Matthew 23. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, he had a way with words, didn't he? Don't give me any incentive here, Jesus. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He wasn't correcting them for tithing, or he didn't say to them, you know, tithing's been done away with. You no longer need to tithe. He says, if you're going to tithe, you also need to do these other things, justice, mercy, and faith. But faith is important. That's why we can't leave these things out. I'm not just saying now we're just going to, you know, because there's many people today. There are some people in some denominations. They teach tithing, but they leave out the faith and the love and all the other things. And Jesus is telling them, you need to do these things. Mix it all together. Paul wrote, and I won't turn there, Romans 2. You can turn there later. Paul wrote of temple robbers. Again, that's a New Testament scripture. And he goes through and he's telling the, again, he's talking to the Pharisees again, or the religious leaders, talking about, well, let's turn there. I don't think that's right. He wasn't talking to the, he was talking to the believers. Romans 2, talking to the Jews. Romans 2, verse 17, indeed you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God. And then it goes down to verse 22. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Robbing God. Again, talking about tithing and offerings. Robbing God. All right, let's talk about tithing the tithe, and we'll close with this tonight. Just as Abraham offered his tithe in recognition of the blessing of God upon his life, we too should recognize his blessing when we tithe. Let's look over in Deuteronomy 26. Now, this is something that you can do as a family. I think it would be a powerful thing for you to do it, to think about doing this. But you could do this as a family. It's making tithing more meaningful for you and for your family. You know, husbands and wives getting together, families getting together. But let's read a few of these verses. In Deuteronomy 26, kind of gives us a pattern for what we can do with our tithes. I'm just going to read several of these verses. Let's look at verse 2. That you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. You take the tithe to the place the Lord chooses to make his name abide. You take it to the place that you are being fed spiritually. We have something that belongs to God. Next, we go to the priest and we speak to him. Again, Jesus is your high priest. You're not bringing the tithe to me. You're not bringing the tithe to the pastor. You bring it to Jesus, and that'll help you, because then you'll be thinking, well, the pastor's wearing a new suit, and bless God, I don't like it. He's using my tithe money for a new suit. Well, you know, you're bringing that to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. But verse 3 says, and you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare, who's the priest today? I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. What is he doing? He's making a confession. He's speaking to him, telling him what he's doing, bringing it to the high priest, acknowledging Jesus as our high priest. And now that's going to get the ball rolling, so to speak. That's going to get things moving. Speak to the Lord and declare your testimony of deliverance. And I'm going to read in just a moment, Creflo Dollar in his book, The Covenant Connector, has a prayer that he uses. Or you can get your own prayer, read Deuteronomy 26 and write your own. Or many times, I just say it from my heart. It's in me. So I just say it. But speak to the Lord and declare your testimony of deliverance. Look at verse 10. All right, let's just read verse. We'll start with 8. And so the Lord brought us out of Egypt, and with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terror, and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits. First fruits is the tithe, it's the first part, of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. And then you shall set it before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. That's why many times you'll hear me when we receive the offering and they bring the baskets forward, what do I say? Lift your hands and worship the Lord. We're worshiping, just acting on Deuteronomy 26, acting on the word. Again, part of tithing is worshiping God, magnifying God. Don't consume the tithe on yourself. You may be tempted to do that. You got bills, you got things happening, maybe a creditor calling you. Don't consume the tithe on yourself. Look at verse 14. It says, I have not eaten any of it. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, when you're going through a tough time. Nor have I removed any of it for unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. It's important then, and this doesn't go here because this is not a dead work here. I tell you, there are many people that need to listen to the Spirit of God because they're bringing their tithe to a place where it's dead. It's a dead work. It's a dead thing. And they need to listen to Him. They probably need to go somewhere else, what they need to do. But don't consume your tithe on yourself. Don't give it for the dead. And then receive by faith. Here's where faith comes in again. Receive by faith the blessing that God bestows on those who tithe. And that's why go over these scriptures. Keep them before you. You ought to know Malachi 3. You ought to know 2 Corinthians 9. Talk about it next week. These scriptures, I mean, these are a part of me. They're in me. I know what I'm promised. And then anytime I'm in doubt, I go back and look at it. And there's times I'm dealing with situations and I'm saying, look here. I'm talking to God and I'm also talking to the devil. Look here, what it says in the Word. This is your Word. When you are faithful, again, in tithing, you do it 100 out of 100 times. 99 out of 100 is not good enough. Just ask your wife. Used that before, but 100 out of 100, right? Right, ladies? That's what we want. Tithing is a decision you make and you stick with it just like your marriage. Stand on your covenant rights when adversity comes. We play until we win. What are you doing? What is Deuteronomy 26 all about? Again, it's really faith. Faith is hearing the word, believing the word, and speaking the word, and then acting on it. What you're doing is you're just not dropping it in there. You're giving life to that offering, life to the tithe through your words. There's life in that faith. In your words. There's faith in your words. So you're activating. So that's really what we're doing. Activating the covenant. Yes, it's important to the actual getting the money and going through all that. But I believe tithing the tithe, the most powerful thing, happens in our words. Just like when you get saved, your words seal it. Just like in tithing, your words seal it. And I'm convinced that for many of us, it's our mouth that has, first of all, got us in the problem. But we're not using our mouth to get us out of the problem. In our words. And so the secret is getting God's word, knowing your covenant. You know, and again, it goes back to that what we said today in 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That we ask anything according to His will. See, when you know that you're a tither and you know your rights and you know your covenant, you have confidence. You have confidence before God, and you also have confidence with the devil. And you don't play around with the devil. You don't even play around with even a hint of poverty. You don't put up with it. Putting the word in there, hearing it, faith comes, and then you speak. You release your faith through your words. And then you go about, and then you're expected. Tithers ought to be the happiest people in the world. Because they're just walking around expectant. Every day expecting good things to happen. Every day expecting opportunities, doors to open up. Every day expecting sales and increase and prosperity and checks coming in. And, you know, just expectant. That's why we've got to keep preaching these messages. Because even in this group, as much as we know, we can still tell that we haven't quite got it yet because of our expectancy level. Faith is expectant. But let me read to this. This is a very good book on tithing. Does anybody have this book? Creflo Dollar. It's called The Covenant Connector. It's a real good book, but let me read his prayer in there. Again, it's based on Deuteronomy 26. But this is how he puts it. Lord, I bring this tithe before you, before the covenant of promises you have made with my father Abraham and with me, the seed of Abraham. In the name of Jesus, I come before you, putting you in remembrance of the promise to heal me of all manner of sickness and disease. I say unto you that I was a sinner on my way to hell. I didn't have God on my side, and I didn't have heaven in my view. I was in a land of bondage, being defeated on all sides. But I remember, Lord, when the doctors had given up on me, and how you came and changed the report. I remember, see, so much about covenant is remembering. I remember how you healed me and delivered me with signs and wonders with a mighty outstretched hand. I come to you right now, Lord, thanking you for the promise of complete healing according to the covenant. Now I'm connected to your promise with my tithe. Now I worship you, Lord, and I rejoice before you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all the good that you are doing in my life. Thank you for my job. Tithers are grateful. Thank you for my job. Thank you that I've got a place to stay. Thank you that I'm able to inhale and exhale. Thank you that I got a bed to sleep in, and that my family is well. Thank you, Lord. Now, God, I declare in the name of Jesus that this promise you made in the covenant is based on the tithe I brought to you. I've connected with the promise, and you've got to bring it forth. Jesus is my priest, high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. I believe the system set in place that says when I bring the tithe, you bring the promise. I like that. When I bring the tithe, you bring the promise. In Jesus' name, amen.